Amen. You have to be the one that's pursuing God. Amen. Amen. He's always there for you, but you have to put forth the effort to reach Him, to know Him. Amen. To find out what His desire is for your life. But you have to make the effort. Amen. The Holy Ghost is always reaching for you. Amen. Reaching for us in desire. Amen. To bless us in all these things. But we must pursue and we must initiate. Amen. The contact with God. Amen. 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 At this time, amen, I'd like to introduce our preacher for today, Brother Gruber. He's been in the midst of us. It's been a month already. Amen. Again, he's our distinct faith group leader, our acting pastor of the Massawa church that we have there. Amen. And I have had the time of all the driving, picking him up and dropping folks off that me and Brother Gruber talk all the time. And I can tell you that he's a man that loves God. He loves talking about God. Amen. And it's been such a privilege, Brother Gruber. Amen. That we get to spend this time together. I pray and hope that you go a changed man. Amen. Go back renewed in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And keep that fire burning and kindling inside you. Amen. And you won't have to worry about where's God sending you. I know you don't. It's just something that we just want to know. But I just know that wherever God sends you and your wife, amen. But it won't be too soon, amen, that I'm praying. Because we still need you at Massawa. Amen. Take your liberty and give to us. Amen. What the Lord has put on your heart and your mind. Everybody say, God bless.
God bless.
Brother Gruber, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen, amen.
Praise the Lord. I greet you in the name, the only name, under heaven, given among men, by where we must. I greet you in the name of Jesus. As I was studying and going over the theme for this month of Acts 4 and 13, I began to realize that God has called us certain things. And I won't be very long today, but today my message is simply names called over the true disciples / witnesses of God. And the scripture for today, Acts 14 and 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Everyone turn to your neighbor and say, I am ready to receive a word from the Lord. And you may be seated. You may be seated. I would like to turn your attention to Luke 14:25. Through 33, and then mark that scripture and flip over to John 8:31 through 36, and then flip one more time, John 13:31 through 36, and then for the very last time, John 15:5 through 8. When you find it, say amen. If you haven't found it, say oh me. Don't worry, I'll give you time. I'm not in any hurry. If this sounds familiar to what Pastor was teaching, it is simply because I believe that we have grown so much together in our time together that we just start to actually begin to think alike. Now, I am going a little bit slightly different direction than what Pastor has gone into. Has everyone found the scriptures? Luke 14:25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it, lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Flip over to John 8:31-36. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, We are Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, Ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And flip over one more time, John 13:31. I know it's a lot of scripture. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whether I go, thou canst not follow me, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. In the very last scripture, John 15:5-8. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Mighty Jesus, I just thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you that you have continuously blessed us. I ask right now that you would open up your word to us. Speak to our hearts, speak to our minds. Anoint my lips of clay that I might be able to speak your word. Anoint my mind that I might understand. Mighty Jesus, guide my path and guide my words, dear Lord. I just thank you for what you are doing. Bless the hearer of those that listen, and bless the hearts that understand and receive your word. And I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you hadn't noticed, there was a single theme in all those scriptures: a disciple. What is a disciple? Well, I looked at the Greek and I found that it actually means a learner, a pupil, a disciple, one that is disciplined in the ways of God. Now, of course, there are many disciples. We have disciples of the Lutheran faith, the Catholic faith, ones that try to follow after God. And in fact, I actually went and looked online for the dictionary. And it actually says, any other professed follower of Christ in his lifetime. Any follower of Christ. Understand that God has called us not just to be a disciple, just a follower of Him, but He has called us to be a witness. I actually went and I looked up the word witness. And here's the definition that I got in the dictionary: to see, hear, or know by personal presence and perception, to witness an accident, to be present at an occurrence as a formal witness, a spectator, bystander, as in she witnessed our wedding, to bear witness, to testify to, give or afford evidence of, to attest by one's signature, he witnessed her will. We actually found in Luke 24:46-49. And Pastor even went over it. Excuse me. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to raise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Flip over to Acts 1:7. And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which my Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. When I was born, there was a name that was called over me in my life. Victor Jason Gruber. Victor, we know, means conqueror, one that has conquered, overcame.
Switch an alternate. That name is powerless without the name of Jesus. Once when I was born again of the water of the Spirit, I died to myself. And it was in that death that the Spirit of the Lord gave us new life. He breathed into me a new name, which is the only name under heaven given among men by where we must be saved. You see, my name just simply was Victor Jason Gruber. But once when I was filled with his Spirit by evidence of speaking in other tongues, my name became Victor Jason Gruber Jesus. And it's in that name that I have the power, just simply because he has resided in me. And just like he resides in you, he has called us out of his darkness, out of this darkness, into his marvelous light.
Amen.
For what purpose? For what purpose has he called us out of this? I feel so restricted. For this purpose, once when you were given that name in your birth, it was, the Hebrews believed that a name meant so much. That is the reason why they took days and even months at a time praying, seeking God for the name that they are going to name this child. And so then I'm getting excited just thinking about this. So once when that name is called over their life, God comes in. You are baptized in his name. You are now dead to yourself. The name has been applied to you. But it is not, the power has not been given unto you until it is in you. And that is what he is going to come once when he comes for his church. He wants that witness of the Holy Ghost. How do we know that we have the Holy Ghost? Can anyone tell me? speaking in tongues. Thank you. I got to get back to my notes. Once when I named my child, my oldest child, Gage, I actually went and I looked up the name that I gave him. His full name is Gage Zichri Gruber. And I was actually kind of surprised to find out what Gage meant. You see, I knew it meant to pledge, but Gage also has a deeper meaning. It is a token of defiance, specifically a glove or cap cast on the ground to be taken up by an opponent as a pledge of combat. I go and I throw my glove down to the enemy. Come on, pick it up. Pick it up. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And if I have the power of God residing in me, I can take on this devil. I can take on this principality. Not because of anything that I've done. Not because Victor Gruber did it. It's because he did it. It is the power of God working through us. And I just wish someone would just grab onto this. It's like you were called out of darkness into, you have been called by His name to go out into the world filled with His Spirit. Has given you so much power. He has given Himself so that this way you can go and minister to your lost and dying world.
Amen.
But we are to be true witnesses, right? Where did I define a witness as? What can anybody tell me? Someone who visually saw what happened. A witness. How do we know that we are the child of God? It is through the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And these signs will follow them once when they lay their hands on the sick and pray in the prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith will heal the sick. Is there any that is sick today? Is there anyone that needs deliverance today? I'm ready to pray for whoever will. I actually have been studying this throughout the entire week, and I get excited every single time. Amen. I've been studying this thing about the name of God.
Amen.
About the name that has been applied to our life.
Amen. Amen.
Zichri. It means memorable. It means to basically put into remembrance of. To remember the things, the oracles of God. By implication, to mention, to burn incense earnestly, to make mention, to be mindful, recount, record. To remember, make to be remembered. Has God done anything for you? Has God delivered you from anything? Has He healed you? Has He been a friend that sticks closer than a brother? Has He given you strength when you were weak? and Gruber. He hides you in the mountain. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Most High God? A man with clean hands and a pure heart and lips that speak no guile. I can't wait to be able to baptize Gage. I'm just like beside myself. I can hardly wait to actually baptize him and watch him fill with the Holy Ghost, because he is going to wreck the kingdom of the devil. My other son, Gabriel, Zephaniah Gruber. Gabriel literally means man of God. Gabriel, an archangel. And it actually took me a while to actually figure out what Zephaniah meant. I know it's extremely rude to drink water in front of people that don't have any, so I do apologize. It actually means to hide by covering, by implication, to hoard or reserve, to figuratively to deny, specifically, favorably, to protect. Men of God, has not God protected you? He said, has he gathered you up and said, hey, look, guys, I know you're not doing right now, but come on. Come on. Come on. Come back into the house of God. Come on. Come on, start praising me. Start worshiping. Start praying. Start having a little bit of faith. Start believing in what I said. Is that so hard? Is that really so hard to walk after God? To do what God had asked? Is it really that difficult? The way of the transgressor is difficult. Peter. The primary word means a piece of rock. We know this by the name that Jesus changed Simon Bar-Jonah from. If God doesn't like your name, he will change it. Just think about this. Abram, God of few, father of few. Abraham, Jacob, supplanter. Israel. But what really got me is once when I actually looked at John. I didn't really understand this until a little bit later in my prayer, and that it actually comes from the Hebrew word Jonaeus. Okay? And let's see. And it literally means to bend or stoop in kindness to an inferior, to favor, bestow, to concussively to implore, to move to favor by petition. Peter was the rock that Jesus called and gave the keys to the kingdom. He's unlocking doors so that this way we can move through them. But the name of John, God is speaking down and saying, look at these people. They are coming to me. They are getting on the rock. They are getting on the word. They are getting on the foundation. And they are... Oh, and they... He just has to stoop down and say, come to me, children. I love you. I want you. Come and do my will. And he's calling each and every one of us today to do His will. Somebody turn to Acts 2:36 and read from 36 to 41. That same Jesus gave them the commission to go out and make disciples of all men that would follow after Him. And they would go, but they needed to wait to be endued by power from on high. That name needed to be added to their name. So that this way, it's no longer just Peter. It's not just Peter doing it. It's Peter and Jesus. And if you can just link up with that name, which is above every other name, there is not a devil in hell that can come against you and conquer you, because you have the greatest force in the entire universe. Acts 8:12-13. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. You see, when you are born again and you have God in you, miracles, signs, and wonders just naturally come. It just naturally come. Again, not because I make it happen, it's because God. Yes, He tells us to stir up the gift that is inside you. Paul does. But it is God that works through us, that begins to draw on men's hearts. And it's through your actions that God can reach the lost and dying world. Granted, I can't save anybody. All I can do is just preach the Word, live the Word, be the Word, and pray that God continues to lead and guide me. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I thank God that He gave me today. Acts 10:44-48. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcised which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles was also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with other tongues and magnify God. How did they know that they were witnesses? Let me read that again. They heard them speak in other with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, then prayed that they tarry, that they him to tarry certain days. This is what these people were receiving, the gift of God before they were even baptized, which tells me that you can have the Holy Ghost in you, but not necessarily have the name on you just yet. Once when the Holy Ghost comes in you, the name needs to be applied on you. Somebody grab Isaiah 12. Is this okay? Isaiah 12. I'll read. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. O great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. But Isaiah was prophesying at this time that Jehovah, God, has become his strength and his song. And not only that, that he has even become our salvation. And that he didn't even have the Holy Ghost yet. But he actually went and said, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. How do we know that we're saved? How do we know that we're saved? Is it because that we signed the church roster? Is it because I got baptized in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Is it because I was baptized in Jesus' name? Yes, that is part of salvation. But once when you are baptized in his name, you're dead. You're only... Once when a child is born, what is the very first thing that the doctor looks for? It looks for the sound that that baby is making. Because if it doesn't have breath, it's dead. It's a stillborn. It cannot live without the breath. And the Spirit of God goes in and breathes that light into us. And we begin to cry out, Abba, Father. We are the children of God. That's how we know that we have salvation, is through the baptism of the Holy, of the baptism of remission of sin in Jesus' name and the infilling of his Spirit by evidence of speaking in other tongues. Exodus 3:13 through 15. I'll give you plenty of time to find it. If you find it, say amen. Looks like everyone pretty much found it. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever. And this is my memorial to all generations. I actually went and I looked up Exodus 3 and 14 in the Amplified. And it says this, And God said to Moses, I am who I am, and what I am, I will be what I will be. And he said, You shall say this to the Israelites, I am sent me to you. This same God, this exact same God, resides in you. Whatever you need. Lord, I need a healing. I am that. Lord, I need salvation. I am that. Lord, I need deliverance. I am that. I thought that there'd be more jumping and praising. I mean, just simply because I am that. Somebody grab Genesis 22:12-14. Genesis Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. Have you ever experienced where you were just, you needed something from God? Has anyone been into a dry place outside of me? Anyone? Anyone? I'm going to share a testimony. There was one time at a deployment. I was so depressed that I literally had the means to end my life. At that time, I was doing security forces. And at that time, they would arm me with an M9. If anybody knows what an M9 is, it's a pistol. I had the means to end it right then and there. I was so depressed. And so the enemy had gotten to me so much that if it wasn't for God, that said, Stop. What are you doing? I am the Lord that provides for you. I am your peace. I am your sanity. I am your joy. If it wasn't for God that held my mind together, I would have already pulled that trigger and I would not be standing here. If it wasn't for the Lord who was on my side. If it wasn't for the Lord who was on my side, I could have been dead. I would not have been standing here before you, giving you this message. Somebody else grab Exodus 17, 14 through 16.
And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in the book, and be cursed in the ears of Joshua by your utterance cut out the remembrance of the Amalekites from under the heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it
Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. Have you not heard that when the enemy comes in like a flood, he will raise up a standard against it? This same God that once when the enemy comes into your life and starts speaking untruth, oh, you don't need to do all that. Oh, you don't need to receive the Holy Ghost. You don't need to be baptized in Jesus' name to receive salvation. All you have to do is just simply say, hey, I believe in God. I'm saved. Is that what the Word says? That's not what my Bible says. What's when the enemy comes in like a flood? The scriptures just came to my mind. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you, you shall what? What does your Bible say? What does your Bible say? You shall condemn. That's when you have the power of God in you. You can tell the devil to shut up. That right there should have just been an explosion of praise. Tough crowd today. Somebody grab Jehovah. I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. Judges 6,
22 through 24. And the Lord said, Allah, the Lord God, I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then give thee breath and also to bear unto the Lord, and call it Jehovah Shalom. Come to this day, it is yet an oppressed as a Israelite.
Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. You can have a face to face relationship with our Lord and Savior. The one that formed the world together and not die. Gideon was able to see face to face. And he had peace in him because he knew that he was right with God. Once when you have the Holy Ghost inside you, he's going to give you that peace. Jeremiah 33:14-16. I'm just simply building a little bit of a basis right now. Jeremiah 33:14-16 says this: Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and unto the house of Judah. In those days, and at that time, I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be set, shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. No one's perfect. There's only one that was perfect, and we crucified him. But thanks be to God that he is our righteousness. Once when we fall, we have an advocate with the Father. Not if we fall, when we fall. We have all, like sheep, gone astray. But it's God, our shepherd, that leads us back into right relationship. I'm moving on. Colossians 2:6-23. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth the, what's the next word? Fullness of the Godhead bodily. Meaning, all those names that I just read off, and that's only just a sampling, reside in Jesus Christ. And ye are complete in him. He is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a shew of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink, or in respect of a holiday, or of a new moon, or of a the Sabbath days, which are in a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding though into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ, ye subject to ordinances. Touch not, taste not, handle not. Which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a shew of wisdom in will worship and humility, and neglecting the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Brothers and sisters, we need to walk in a way that is pleasing to God. He has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light for a purpose, for such a time as this. It wasn't so that this way you can just begin just receiving the blessings of God. God has called each and every one of us as witnesses to go out and reach a lost and dying world. God did not call you to change the world. He called you to change your world, the world that you live in. I'm done. That's all I have. Shall we pray? Mighty Jesus, I just thank you for today. Thank you that you've continuously blessed us. Thank you for your Spirit. Mighty Jesus, I ask that you would infill us anew, that we would begin to walk in a way that is pleasing unto you. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would give us divine appointments. Lord, put your words in our mouth that we might speak rightly. Lord Jesus, that you would draw all men unto you. And in this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Word of God to us.